Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Football Scout 365 host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with all of the scouts today. We got the whole staff in the building. We got CSPN McLaughlin.
What up,
Nate?
Fellas?
Jedi Nasty Master Parker.
What up, fellas?
We're going to work on that nickname. Brandon Lundberg, coach.
Y'all forgot about Dre?
CJ.
Never.
All right, guys. Well, it's been a long year. Year two in the books. We've been doing this for 2 years now. We got our second Super Bowl. So last year, that one was a crazy one. I thought it was going to be closer with the Chiefs and the Bucks and Patrick Mahomes running all over the field for his life. Yeah. Who was the halftime show last year? I don't even remember.
Was it The Weeknd?
Doesn't matter.
The Weeknd. Yeah, that was kind of a letdown. I thought it was gonna be better.
It doesn't
last
matter.
Year.
Oh,
this
yeah,
year,
with the plastic, with the.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And but this year, man, they killed it.
Yeah.
We're officially old because last night my whole living room seemed like a party in 2009. Everyone was up dancing.
Yeah, it was dope. It was dope.
Yeah, it was great.
You guys, surprised you guys didn't bleach your hair blonde and.
No, that's for you or y'all.
Kendrick was awesome when he popped up in the middle with those dudes. Yeah, that was great.
And then 50 didn't even expect to see him.
Yeah, that's great.
He was struggling hanging up.
Let's show some respect. 50. 50.
50.
Hey, man, when he popped out of that ceiling, I'm like, I told my kids, cover your eyes. Cover your ears. I don't know what's about to happen. I didn't know he was
there. Not shake your butts, kid.
He just showed up. Probably showed up with a gun and was like, yo, I'm in this. All right? And they're like, you know.
This is my show.
We know who you are. And you're
many men.
It was great,
many, 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 many men.
It was great.
It was awesome.
Mary J. Blige up there.
Those boots, with that cowboy hat was crazy. That sparkly cowboy hat. I thought she was gonna burn a hole in the roof.
Look, people gotta be okay with being grandparents when they get older. You know, super talented, love her to death. But man, like these men and women, you gotta be okay with being a grandparent. And I don't think our generation is okay with being grandparents.
I don't know. Mary still killed it though. I felt it was just enough sexy, just enough classy.
No. She did kill it. I'm not saying she didn't, but if you over the age of 50, You shouldn't be wearing certain stuff.
Man, send your grandma to my house. She can wear whatever she wants.
All right. Whoa. All right. Yeah, you say that unless it's your grandmama. Mary J is probably somebody's grandmama.
I'll send my grandma over to your house. She can wear whatever she wants.
Wow. Oh, man.
All right, let's talk about the football game. Yeah?
Your grandmother could be Lisa Ann, I guess.
Yours could be.
Mine's is not, but. I'm just saying. I'm generally speaking, not specifically
Who's Lisa Ann, CJ?
Family friendly.
Yeah. So let's talk about the game, though. We did the halftime show here. Let's talk about the game. Hell of a game. Always hate Super Bowls that are decided by a penalty. But let's start it off. So we started off the game. It was a little slow, but then all of a sudden, OBJ. Kicking down the door.
Yeah.
Iconic touchdown catch. Getting alerts on my phone. Drake made $400,000 betting on OBJ scoring the first touchdown. I love the bet alerts that you get now during games, like the live betting alerts. Where it's like, this person just bet this random thing and won $1 million. It makes me hate.
He lost quite a chunk of change because he also had OBJ going over 62.5 yards receiving. And as soon as OBJ went down with the knee injury, that's the first thing I thought of. Well, Drake, you can kiss that money goodbye.
I'm sure he broke even with $400,000.
No, yeah, I heard he bet like a milli though. So,
yeah, in Bitcoin too. I heard that.
I'm betting $20 a bet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Rough out here.
Man, well, I had such a good time watching the game. I didn't even check my bets. I might have some money in my account. Probably not though. So then OBJ did that, and then first touchdown for the Bengals. Who got the first touchdown for the Bengals?
Oh boy.
Last night was great, folks. Last night was great. It was a great party.
Field goal. Oh, it was
T. Higgins.
No, T. Higgins was, on the halfback pass.
The Joe Mixon halfback pass. Yeah, that was the long gain
to Jamar Chase on Jalen Ramsey to kind of set it up, which that was kind of the story of the game last night. You know, Cincy, you know they want to take their deep shots, and they were able to at times, but for the entirety of the second half, they didn't have time. Joe Burrow didn't have time to take any shots deep.
Well, with the exception of one, the first, like one
play. With the exception of that one. But overall, I mean, they're what, 40, 50 plays in the second half. They couldn't get anything going. That Rams defensive line, they pinned their ears back. And the biggest difference I saw between the first half and the second half in regards to that LA Ram defense, I mean, look, for the entire season, they run a lot of zone. In the first half against Cincinnati, Joe Burrow came out. He was a bit nervous at the start. Rams was running a lot of zone. And then Burrow got comfortable. He started to find the holes in the zone. In the second half, you saw I saw the Rams play more games up front. They still only brought four, but they'd walk guys up to the line of scrimmage. So you don't know what four are coming. And it seemed to give Joe Burrow and that Bengal offense some issues.
Yeah, that's how Aaron Donald, you know, began to get some pressure himself with one-on-ones is when they started getting up on the line of scrimmage and occupying the center so he couldn't come off and double the, you know, with the guard on Aaron
Playing
Donald.
Games,
so.
Yep. And look, the thing about it is, I can't be too critical on either coaching staff. They did a fabulous job. Zach Taylor, you can only do so much. When you're coming into a game knowing that no matter what you do, no matter what you scheme, you're not going to be able to control that LA front. But in the first half, even when they got behind, Cincinnati still ran the ball. Okay, they were still running it. In the second half, even with the lead, you know, they were getting into some manageable downs and distances. Then they drop back and pass, and, you know, Joe Burrow would take a sack. I'm kind of shocked that they didn't run it more in the second half because that's what allowed the Rams to kind of, you know,
tee off,
yeah.
Come after, you know? Yeah. Yeah, true. I mean, that's a big deal. I think one of the key, maybe it was a third and one or fourth and one. I can't remember off the top of my head, but P. Ryan was in there carrying the football.
Yeah.
And wondering what that's all about. A lot of that going on. I think Zach Taylor even mentioned in the post game that he kind of regretted not keeping, you know, different personnel in certain situations for those moments. So,
yeah,
right. Yo, how about that Jesse Bates interception in the end zone?
Yeah.
That was incredible.
That was nasty.
That was incredible.
Yeah, that's
what it was due to. You know, look, when Cincinnati early in the game looked like it was going to be a rout, right? And then Cincinnati, they had to step up. They made some plays. But when the Bengals came down and scored after that halfback pass, I was like, okay, the pressure is on Matthew Stafford. If the game is close, you're putting pressure on Matthew Stafford, and look at what he did. He threw a couple of interceptions. Now, he recovered and came back from that. But
have you seen the film breakdown going around the internet of Matthew Stafford's no-look pass?
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about.
It's absolutely.
It was a high-low route, and basically he was just looking. It was no look. Obviously, he was looking at the safety directly, but never moved his head and just a dime.
Well, he was looking at the button hook guy, and then Von Bell, because he looked at him, Von Bell started cheating up. And as Von Bell started cheating up, he just threw it to where Von Bell originally was, and Cup just cut right in front of it. It was absolutely beautiful.
That chemistry.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about Cooper Kupp. He got the Super Bowl MVP. Yeah, bravo.
Deservedly so.
Cap the triple crown with winning the game-winning touchdown pass.
Oh, crazy.
I saw a stat today. ESPN, I think, was out. There's only one other receiver in history to do what Cooper Kupp did this season, and it took
my favorite side dish with Chinese food.
Jerry Rice. Jerry Rice is the only other player to ever do what Cooper Kupp did, and it took him his entire career.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't do it to the end of
gotta
his
gotta put some more Niners, respect on Cooper Kupp's name. And after
last night. Can we get that as a sound drop, please?
Hey, look. I mean, look, I'm just being real. You think I'm a hater because he's a white receiver or whatever. But, I mean, you got to get these man. Look.
He's special.
Is that a new position?
He is. He's a real thing, man.
Yeah, he's a real
thing. I'm not ready to say he the best in the NFL, but Lord God, he's top three. Yeah, I mean,
he's special.
We got to put him up there now. I mean, I don't know. I know he doesn't run the fastest 40. I know he doesn't jump the highest vertical.
Unguardable on the routes, dude.
It was him, and it was like, we look at him, we're like, oh, he had OBJ, like, it's fine. OBJ goes out, he got Van Jefferson to draw coverage. He was taking double teams, like, the rest of that game.
Yeah, because the other receivers weren't. And also, I mean, you could tell the offense was really keyed on Odell Beckham being a big part of the game plan. As soon as he went out, they were a little out of sync, and it kind of kept the game. Arguably, I think it kept the game a little closer than what it might have been at that point.
No, for sure. And also, one thing that you see in greatness, rarely do you get to see greatness show up in the biggest moment. Like, Cooper Kupp took over that last drive.
Yeah.
And he won that game. Like, he was unguardable. Although, there was a phantom pass interference call that extended that drive. Y'all are crazy, man.
I mean, look, he barely put his hand on his hip.
He would have walked. If there was a book written about the way he put his hand on his hip, it would have been listed as tender.
I mean,
tenderly touched.
Hey, man, like, just remember that T. Higgins touchdown, the start of the second half.
I don't think that call was egregious on the last drive, though.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, he ripped.
Let the boys play. Ramsey's ripping Ramsey's face mask.
We should have known because there was no penalty flag thrown all game. The crew that refereed this game had called like the third fewest penalties out of all the NFL crews. But we should have known when we didn't see flags all night that it was going to be a couple big ones towards the end. And it was, and I don't even think it was an egregious call. I mean, he had his hands on him. If they didn't want to call holding, they could have called PI, or maybe they could have called illegal contact.
The ball had to be in the air for it to be the interference call to get it down to the one.
Well, I mean, look, if he didn't touch him at all, I would be with you on there, Woody, but he put his hands on him, and
it was ticky tack, but it was the right call.
It was ticky tack
on third down on the final.
Like it was ticky tack. Hey, Woody, I get you. It was ticky tack, but like the foul was done.
And
can I say one thing, and then CJ, you can touch on what you were about to say, but Burrow. You could tell that when they had to kick that field goal, I can't remember at what drive it was, but anyway,
when they
kicked the field goal, you could tell he was frustrated. They wanted to finish that drive with a touchdown because that changes the whole complexion of the game. Mm-hmm. And leaving that score at 20-13, that's a huge difference, obviously. Yep. Having Stafford have to fight back a little bit more throughout the game, but yeah, I feel like that was the biggest point right there.
It will put you up two scores, right? You score. Yep. Get the extra point, you're up 24-13. You're up two possessions. So, that was crucial.
You know, the Rams actually missing that field goal, the botched extra point that they had in the first half, ended up, I think, adding to their aggressiveness on that final drive because they didn't have the option of tying it with the field goal. So Stafford knew, nah, I got to do this now. There was no safety.
Oh, yeah, there was no other option.
And look,
when that happened, in the back of my head, I'm like, this is going to come back to make me very nervous about me being right about this game. But I'm like, nah, everything looks like it's fine. Then OBJ goes down.
It was a hell of a blowout.
Yeah.
Well,
it was on its way to being a blowout. And then field
turf. If you're a Bengals fan, you probably prefer being blown out.
Bro, how horrifying was that? How horrifying was that watching OBJ go down without being touched? Like, you just saw it. You were just, oh, no.
We all knew. I'm like,
every single one of us knew.
Oh, I felt for that man.
Yeah, I felt
for that. Brandon immediately said, it's time to get rid of artificial turf. It's time to get rid of it. Like, it was all over Twitter, too. They're like, artificial turf.
That's because our generation isn't accountable. We want to blame stuff on. And look, I'm not saying it's not the artificial turf. I'm just not convinced that it is the artificial turf.
No, there's evidence. People don't get hurt as much on grass.
Was it the same one that he
needs some milk.
More milk.
Actually, is that what it is?
I mean, milk.
I think milk's been. Yeah, I think milk's actually been knocked down as like a that healthy.
Just sugar water.
To be fair, that is the argument that I tell everyone when they're like, how did you get so tall? I'm like, well, I drank lots of milk as a child.
Call up Tom Brady. Get on his plan.
Avocado ice cream. That's not going to be with milk. Anything that causes inflammation whatsoever. Brandon's like,
that, no tomatoes. Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I got the book. Brandon, I don't know. I'm just saying, Brady houses beer like nobody's business. And beer definitely causes
inflammation. That's probably like once a month, if anything.
If even that.
It's probably some specially made beer form.
That, can you avocado imagine beer? If it came out that wasn't really beer that he housed? Oh.
This is apple juice.
Hey, make sure you don't cut me out, Woody.
Well, oh, I won't. I got you.
Okay, my man.
Oh
right.
Yeah. 5 minutes. But let's what'd you finish say? Here. I'll give you a little 5 minutes. I got you.
Whoa.
What? You came with some nasty. I pushed back with some nasty.
How's that make you feel?
I thought you'd be a little happier since your Rams won a Super Bowl.
I know. Team. That's how I was thinking. That's what I was saying.
I root for the other team in LA that no one cares about. The
Chargers. They're going to care less now. Send them back to San Diego.
Seriously. Might as well. Send them to Orange County. Surprisingly, the Rams. The Rams didn't get any run game off the ground at all.
Ooh. It was bad.
1.9 yards per attempt.
That was brutal. I think that's more to say about how tough the Bengals front seven had become by the end of the year, though.
I know. My thought process is I didn't think that would be possible. I thought that you'd see a little bit of
you were saying before the game.
Yeah, the Bengals, everybody was, I mean, most football people were thinking the same thing. That's how the Rams were going to set up their offense, and it never really came to, but McVay never gives up on it. He'll run into a wall a few times here and there on purpose. They'll pick up 2 yards, maybe 3 yards, pop one for six, and he just keeps doing it. And that's just what, you know, that's McVay. That's his style, but you got to keep trying.
He's old school from that point of view, right? Like his offense is innovative and creative, but from his ideology on how he wants to run the ball and to not give up on that, he's old school from that perspective. And I think you have to have that in you to be a successful ball club. You got to be able to run the ball.
Or at least Zach Taylor. Their offense. Zach Taylor, it's like I'm watching the two same offenses playing each other. Like, you know, like Woody said last week, you know, the familiarity for both teams and how that could help. I think that might have helped the Bengals defense a lot. Because they see that. They see it in practice, like, every day.
That's true. So. Yo, how impressive was Joe Mixon's pass? The touch on that ball?
He had one pass like that in college, too.
Did he really? What game?
Yeah, at Oklahoma. I don't know what game. I just remember he had one touchdown pass in college.
He put it where he had to, actually, on that play. He zipped it in there. He threw it high. T. Higgins was the only one. If it was any lower, the defense back would have got a hand on it, so. It was impressive.
Perfect passer rating from Joe Mixon.
Oh, for sure.
It's better than Cooper Kupp's.
So look, Cooper Kupp went 0-1, right?
In the game.
Who do you think deserved the MVP? Because I'm okay with Cooper Kupp getting it.
Oh no, we're gonna talk some Aaron Donald, but we're gonna do that because it transitions us actually to the offseason as well. So in between said topics, we are going to hand it over to our second favorite host, CSPN McLaughlin.
All right. So, Football Scout 365. The Blicky is full. I know it's been supply chain issues. I've been getting my ammunition. Shortages. I've been getting my ammunition from Mexico. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, it's how we do things. Shout out to El Chapo and all them guys down there.
Yeah.
They sponsor Football Scout 365.
thanks.
All right. So, and look.
Hell of a Christmas party.
This is a hell of a trivia question. You guys should be able to get this one. And Brandon, I even went all the way back to the mid-90s. So you could get an answer right on this question. Uh-oh. So without further ado, since 1997, there have been 6 wide receivers who have won Super Bowl MVP. Name them. Since 1997. Chill out, class. Chill out, class. Put your hands down. 1 second, class. I'll give the instructions here in a second. Since 1997, there have been 6 wide receivers who have won Super Bowl MVP. All right. So we're going to go in order. I'll kick it to Nate. You give me one answer, okay? Then we'll kick it to Woody. He's going to give me one. Brandon's going to give me one. I'm going to go two cycles around. All right? So that's six answers. Ooh. All right? So since 1997, there have been six receivers who have won Super Bowl MVP. Nate, give me one of them.
Cooper Kupp.
Thank you, sir.
Deion Branch.
Good job.
That's a good one.
Stank of cheese.
Wes Welker.
Damn, Brandon.
He dropped the game-winning pass.
Nate, you want to give me another
Julian Edelman.
Good job.
Yep. I was going to go that route.
Brandon, you're going to be disappointed here. Desmond Howard.
Yep.
Yep, that was Brandon's pick.
A bunch of returns. I don't have any more. I don't even know. Oh, Cooper Kupp. Anybody say Nate, that? There you go.
Nate just said that the first one.
Did he?
All right.
I didn't hear.
You want to give me one more?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you done? You want to stick a fork in you, Brandon?
Super Bowl MVP receivers. Yeah, stick a fork in me. I'm dead.
Jerry Rice.
Yep.
No.
What
didn't Jerry get one? I thought he did.
I said since 1997.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, can I say one? I got one. Maybe.
No,
never mind.
Go ahead, Brandon.
No, yeah, go ahead.
It's not Anquan Boldin or something, is it?
No.
All right, no. All right, throw it out the window.
Santonio Holmes?
Ooh, yep. That's it.
How many we got now? Four or five?
Five out of six.
Oh, we're still doing these?
Oh, so we got one.
Desmond Howard. Deion Branch.
Who is it? We got to get this last one.
What was the last one you just gave me, Woody?
I said Santonio Holmes.
Okay, yeah. Mm. Julian Edelman and Cooper Kupp is what Nate gave me.
Who won for...
It's ticker time. Who won ahead and put it right there in the middle for me, Brandon.
Who won for Philly?
Nick Foles?
Hines Ward.
Boo! Nice. Oh, the Korean! Yeah, there you go.
Good job. Good job, fellas. Good job.
I was trying to think, like, hardcore, because he was like, CJ was like saying, Santonio Holmes, you pick Santonio? I was like, wait, there's another steal.
Nah, I remember Hines Ward had a game against Seattle.
Yeah.
And look, check this out.
He's blocking.
Out of all these names, Desmond Howard, Deion Branch, Hines Ward, Santonio Holmes. Julian Edelman, Cooper Kupp, none of whom... are in the Hall of Fame.
That's a tragedy. Cooper Kupp might be.
Cooper Kupp might be. Hines Ward should get in there soon. I think he's a semifinalist again for like the fourth or fifth year in a row. Hopefully he gets in.
But the thing that Hines Ward was the greatest blocking wide receiver.
That's what I was about to say. Well. Yep.
He deserves to be in there.
Well, now Cooper Kupp may. Hey, look, Cooper Kupp give us another 5 or 6 years of what he's given us.
Whew.
Cooper Kupp is going to be like.
He's going to be up there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Deion Branch, that first, I actually have one of my favorite pieces of memorabilia. I have a signed team hat of that first Patriots Super Bowl of the Brady era. I got Brewski, Branch, Willie McGinnis. Yeah, it's tight.
Better than me. I would have been sold it already.
Nah, man. You got to keep that on the shelf. Real fan.
Real fan. Real broke fan. I'll be damned.
Damn right.
All right, guys.
The blicky foot, though, man. Look, I got like several questions I want to ask you guys, but we're gonna save them.
We it's gonna be a long off season, so
keep
the blicky in the trunk.
No, for sure.
All right, guys.
Scratched off.
Yeah. Hollow points. All right, boys. Well, that's gonna wrap up trivia. Let's hop into our final topic of today's show, and that is we're a bit of a legacy talk here. And also, we're talking about what might happen in the future. So let's talk Aaron Donald. Let's talk his legacy. Let's talk where he lands in the all-time list. We'll talk about that last. Let's talk about what he did last night. He had 2 sacks of the 7. He had the fourth down stuff, or the third down stuff on the Bengals, and then they had to pass on fourth down and then clinch the game. The
pressure, yeah.
Yeah, and then he dropped some bombs on the world saying that he might retire. And I've read a lot of articles. I looked at this while we were talking about this earlier that is saying that this is a pressure for the Rams to pay him, even though he's already the highest defensive player ever. paid, but he's, I mean, he's done it for how many years? He's been
the defensive player of the year. I think Khalil Mack got a bigger deal than him because Khalil Mack signed after Aaron Donald.
Yeah, maybe so. I think this may be leverage for him to get a bigger contract, but I also think it's genius for him. I mean,
yeah.
Look, I wish more players retired at the top of their careers. You know, like this guy is at the pinnacle of success. He won a Super Bowl. He's been the best defensive lineman since he's been in the league. So, like, I'm happy for him. I honestly wouldn't be upset if he retires and, you know, spends time with his family, with his kids. I mean, what else is it left for him to do?
Yeah, CJ, I'm with you. Like, I know we're a football crew, but speaking for Aaron Donald personally, I wouldn't be upset. He's going out. He's literally walking away on top. He's probably accomplished everything he could possibly want going into the NFL. He's achieved all of his dreams, but like the position he plays and how he plays it, like the chances for long-term injuries, like concussions, like being able to walk and play with your grandkids when you're 50, 60, like that's huge. Like if he walks away now, he's fine.
My grandpa was Aaron Donald. I'd be scared as hell.
I think
playing
he's
touch football in the backyard.
Donald's handing out concussions. He's not getting concussions.
We don't play touch.
Hey, look, but what I love is Aaron Donald is so good. You don't always see this at the NFL level, all right? After he got into that little scrum on the sideline, one, which I might add, no flags were thrown, which was awesome.
That's what we were talking about. I love that too.
Boys play, right? Single flag throw.
Yeah, loved it.
After that moment, he just turned into a different.
Yeah. And that was the worst thing you could have done.
Yep. Yeah, made him angry.
No, did you notice what happened? The Cincinnati player ran up and grabbed him like, yo, don't get him going.
Yeah, that's real.
Don't wake the beast.
That's real. But hats off to that offensive line, how much they respect Joe Burrow. Because, I mean, it wasn't even illegal what he did. All he did, he was still in bounds, pushed him out.
And Donald's just so strong, it looked illegal.
It looked worse.
Like Joe Burrow ended up like so out of bounds.
There was like a whiplash to his head when he hit the ground, when you know it's bad when they push him down.
But that's awesome to see that.
Aaron Donald is so strong.
Yo, let's talk about Aaron Donald's legacy. Because we started talking about this earlier, and it's interesting. I believe there's two players still in front of Aaron Donald right now. All time. I think he's the third great. Give me two more seasons of this, and I'll move him up two slots.
I don't need any. He didn't even have to play this year.
He proved it. Like most dominant. What he did this season, and consistently, season after season, there's no way. The only player ahead of him is LT.
How many defensive MVPs has he won?
Reggie White. Donald.
Hey, look. This is all I'm going to say. Aaron Donald. He's played in the league for 8 years. He's been first team all pro for 7 of them.
Yeah.
There you go. And look, Reggie White, he has a legitimate case. His sack numbers, his longevity and durability is just incredible. But just, I think Aaron Donald's pinnacle, his peak, is just, man, it's.
I will give you this. What Aaron Donald does for the defensive tackle position is just absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
Let's give some credit. Reggie White did play line up at defensive tackle in the 4-3 position. His versatility was.
Right. Donald does that too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Donald can. Yeah, he can. They can move him all around.
I think honestly, Reggie White is like. Well, Reggie White was much bigger than Aaron Donald.
He was 6'5", 300 pounds. It ain't fair.
Like what Aaron Donald does at that size, like he for traditional D tackle, he's undersized.
Yeah,
but he's got the best hands I've ever seen.
I got something we can't argue. Pound for pound,
he can. Yeah, there it is.
Pound for pound, name a defensive player better. Pound
for pound, no argument. Well, actually, Bob Sanders.
Look,
no. I like Bob Sanders, but pound for pound,
yeah, that's
man, he was like 150 pounds.
But his resume doesn't compare.
Yeah. CJ, talking about durability, though, he's missed 2 games in his entire career, both not due to injury.
Wow.
Not due to injury. So he missed 2 games for personal reasons, and it was for personal reasons, not injury.
He doesn't get hurt. He practices.
I forgot Reggie White pulled the retirement, too, and he came back and played that 1 year for Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's wild.
Speaking of things that we forgot about, actually.
What? Aaron Donald's won 3 NFL Defensive Player of the Year trophies. So
Reggie White has 2, right?
Ooh. Reggie White, yeah, he plays second in a bunch, but Reggie White also played in an era with 3 of the greatest defensive players of all time. He had Mike Singletary, he had Lawrence Taylor, like he was up there with the legends. And let's be real too. He played in a much more physical era than NFL as well.
Oh, wait, man. No, these dudes don't these
say
days.
It. Don't say it.
These dudes now it's this different than basketball.
What he's officially owed.
Listen, I know, right? So much more physical back then, but these dudes are much larger nowadays. Bigger, stronger, I mean, they're born bigger.
They're bigger, stronger, faster. Yep.
Faster, yes, but they were nastier back then. They would do the elbows, the smacks to the face. Like, it was just a lot more egregious back then.
I mean, Donald was trying to do that last night.
Yeah, that's true. And Donald's a mean man. He'd be up there.
Hey, look, so cool stat. The Rams.
OBJ is believed to have a torn ACL. Breaking news.
Who?
OBJ is believed to have a torn ACL. Breaking news.
Hey, they probably knew that night doing
tests
on him.
I knew it when he fell to the ground when no one touched him.
The four of us were like.
He knew it. He knew it. Yeah. I could tell by his face. And then Burrow, when he went down, I thought he did too.
Yeah, nervous.
His face told a story.
Man, that happens once again with Joe Burrow.
I'm not convinced that his isn't a torn ACL.
It could be.
I mean, it's Joe Burrow's that type of guy.
He waved him off. Waved off the trainers.
But look,
JJ Watt land in the. Oh, keep going, CJ. We'll do that.
The Rams, 82% pass rush win rate versus the Bengals.
Whew.
Yeah,
God,
it's like highest ever versus a single team. Postseason or regular season?
In front of you, total pressure. I believe it was 11 pressures with the 7 sacks, and then
correct.
Yeah,
I had a stat here. I believe he was pressured on out of his 23 dropbacks in the second half. Joe Burrow was pressured on like 12 of them.
Okay, so like more that. Than so, that, a lot more so. Than that. But, yeah. Hey, look, hats off to Burrow, though. He works the pocket pretty good, man, when he gets it set up. The mechanics are amazing.
You know,
you a foot guy, Nate?
I hate when we do this. we compare to the greats. But I know Nate's going to like this. I know Brandon's going to like this. Tom Brady is probably one of the best, if not the best, we've ever seen as far as maneuvering in the pocket.
A slight move.
Joe Burrow has that type of innate ability too.
Yeah.
To feel pressure and slide up. Now, there was some times last night to where I'm like, bro, you just got to get rid of it. The play where he got hurt, I'm like, hey, bro, just go down. You know,
his nature in the moment.
No,
competitive nature and that, you know, and it's all or nothing here. Kill me now.
And you know what?
You know.
But that's part of the maturation process. Because I guarantee you, Brady had that same feeling when he was 21. But then it came to a time to where, veteran Brady said, you know what, let me get down. Let me just live to see the next play.
Brady in the pocket now, you see him where he feels the pressure and just falls.
I know. He feels the wind blow on him and he just stop and take a knee.
Yeah, it's amazing.
No, it is. Where does J.J. Watt fall? Obviously, I feel like we were kind of robbed with J.J. Watt and his legacy just with injury-wise.
I was going to say, like, if you made me pick right now without doing any research, like eye tests, he was dominant for 5 years. I put him in the top 10, but he doesn't track the top 5.
Hey, yeah. He made it famous for defensive ends to get their hand up.
It's true. I remember his rookie year, that first interception that he pulled down. I think it was against Andy Dalton. He just funk right at the then ran it right into the
touchdown. He used to have so many batted balls.
Oh, to bat him down? Is that
where you at, Brandon? I mean,
you just made me think of something else.
I think TJ, I think TJ has a chance to be similarly dominant in
just
honestly.
Of health.
Yeah, it's like if JJ would have stayed healthy, like he had his last 3 seasons with the Texans, completely injured. This season with the Cardinals, injured literally over half the season.
Someone
like,
called that too.
Yeah, you did.
Look, once the injury bug bites you, it does not let go, which is, let's segue back to Aaron Donald.
I forgot about J.J. Watt existing.
I'd be ecstatic to see Aaron Donald retire And for him, yeah, look, too many times we look back at someone's career and, like, we'll usually say towards the end they fell off or they dealt with injury. But to see Tom Brady, the greatest offensive player ever, retire this year, good health, right?
Yep.
He's all there. And now Aaron Donald may have the chance to do the same thing. Great
two
health.
Years, two years ago, it was Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Andrew Luck looks sick.
To close out, I got one thing to touch on. Our first offseason news. Our first wondering what might be. Are we worried about Kyler Murray not being on the Cardinals next year?
No. If you do, you're insane.
He deleted all the
social media. We've seen this do-si-do before. Did it work for Rodgers last year? Did it work for Wilson? Who did they play for this past year? You know, it's a nice little do-si-do. It's a nice little attempt to see if you can, you know,
retrieve
more power. But it's not there. They tried it last year. Didn't work.
Kyler, they'll sit him. Like, the Cardinals are not letting Kyler Murray go anywhere. That is their franchise. There's no way. Like, there's no number of draft picks that are worth trading Kyler Murray away.
It's true. What if he wants to play baseball?
Go play baseball. Go. I mean, I'm just letting you know.
That's his leverage.
Right now, like, you want to, like, here's what if I'm the Cardinals, I look at Kyler Murray and I say, you know what? Go play for the Oakland A's because that's who owns the rights.
And he's damn good, and he'll do just fine.
I already got my cleats on, coach.
Yeah, I'm already heading that way.
Franchise, and they do not pay their players. So, man, you know what?
It'd be a baseball. It has to be the contract, right? He probably wants, like, top five money already.
I don't know. Maybe he's unhappy. It's no telling, man. These guys are prima donnas.
It could be the coaching staff, too.
Yeah, it could be anything.
I read he was upset with losing in the playoffs, you know, like they did.
Yeah, they got blown out.
I mean, all right, here's what I will say about the Arizona Cardinals in the playoffs.
There's a couple coaches out there available right now.
They did not have DeAndre Hopkins, and that offense is completely different with DeAndre Hopkins.
True, 100%. On the field.
Like, man, it's not, man. Like, I like, Brandon, I hear what you're
saying.
Right.
Like, you're right, like, you're right.
But you're also right, because you know what Sean McVay did in that situation? He loses to OBJ, he makes adjustments. Unfortunately, Cliff Kingsbury isn't that good. He's not an elite level coach, so he couldn't make the adjustments to help his quarterback in a position to win.
No, that's real. Brandon, who are some coordinators that you could see maybe on the college level that's a little bit more experimental with Kyler Murray, a player like Kyler Murray?
Coordinator. There's head coaches sitting out there right now, ready to go. There's one of them suing the NFL. Brian Flores.
Oh.
You want to win? Get that guy in.
Brian Flores with the defensive players that they've drafted that haven't panned out, like Simmons from Clemson. Whew. He could do some damage with Simmons.
Yeah, those are all chess pieces for him to mess around with and have fun, and he can hire a CEO of the offense. Here you go. You run my offense, you make it rain.
But look, guys, even on a bigger scale, I know we've kind of honed in on Kyler Murray. I mean, he's not the only quarterback. Russell Wilson, where does he go? Aaron Rodgers, what's going on there? Yeah,
it's going to be a fun offseason. I think what's going on?
What's going on with the quarterback situation? And this is all stuff we're going to be covering the offseason. What's going on in Denver, that quarterback situation? Are they going to have Teddy B back there again?
Carson Wentz might get cut.
So I dug deep on that. Apparently Carson Wentz, if anything, the Colts are stuck with him. They'd have to trade him to be able to get out of that contract, apparently, because they're gonna have
$15 million worth of dead money, right?
Yeah, and $15 million worth of dead money. You don't want to have to eat that $15 million, and then the guy that you're replacing Carson Wentz with isn't better.
Yeah,
that's a huge mistake.
I heard they're trying to look right trade. I don't think
put this on wax.
Draft
Aaron Rodgers to the Colts. Right now, Aaron Rodgers to the Colts.
Our subscribers are dropping left and right now. Hey, come back.
I've heard this take. I've heard this take by this guy on TikTok, one of my favorite analysts. I'll give him a shout out next episode. And I didn't hate it. It's an interesting way to think.
Well, you know how I feel. You can't trust the analysts on TikTok just like you can't trust the analysts on YouTube.
Says the analyst on YouTube.
Oh shit, we on YouTube?
Oh no, man. Come on now.
Bad. You're just making us sad, dude.
I'm joking. I'm just playing. Noted. We know what we're doing here.
Never mind.
Scout 365. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, we good.
If you don't think we do, we got a whole website. Go look at it.
It's all good.
Footballscout365.com.
Well, that's going to wrap up our show today, folks. Let's go check out footballscout365.com. Check out our draft coverage. You got nothing to do now. You need your football fix? Come check out what the newbies are going to be in the draft. We are 12 prospects deep in our draft show. After further review, we've covered all the top five quarterbacks. We got Pickett, Willis, Ritter, Howell, Coral. Go check those out. We're starting to do the wide receivers. It's good stuff, getting a lot of nice traction online. And we will continue.
Corral.
Golden. We will continue
Golden
with, with the offseason coverage all season. We're going to be doing what teams need to be rebuilt, which direction they might go in free agency. The rumor mill is just starting, folks. It's going to be a long offseason. Settle in, pour yourself a drink, and sit and have some fun with Football Scout 365. We'll see you on the manana.
Football season's over, fellas.